Hello,
I'm John McShane. I've just finished a book called Robert Burns in Edinburgh, an illustrated guide to the wonderful city up north, and you are listening to The Geek Show.
Hi everyone, welcome to 4Panel, The Geek Show's dedicated comics, manga, graphic literature, graphic novel, graphic stuff, graphic things. Yeah, we're the dedicated show all about those things. You get what I mean. Anyway, I am Rob, and joining me today is the quite literal Andrew.
Yes, I am literally Andrew.
Yes.
You have made a factually true statement.
I know.
Much in the same way that that introduction was all a factually true statement.
You know. I don't know why I described you as quite literal. I have no idea. It's like
Did
Rob...
you just start the show by just kind of like opening your mouth and letting some words fall out?
Yeah, it's like Rob when we were meeting the other day and he just started calling me a chutney slice. I still don't know what it is. I know, I don't know what one is. I knew I'd been insulted, but I was also impressed at the same time. And anytime you're insulted and impressed at the same time, you know you've been given a good insult.
What even is a chutney slice? Like, do you cut the chutney in half, or is it like a bit of bread with chutney as the filling?
I don't know. All I know is... Because when
these are the only questions that the Rob can answer.
Well, later on, I just kept imagining Mr. Kipling's chutney slices, and then it just went wrong.
Well, let's go from one delicious thing to another.
Yes,
a blurb is good enough. So, if this rambling incoherence has absolutely sold you on the show, and you want more, you can find us online at thegeekshow.co.uk. Well, you can listen to all our other shows. You can find links to our YouTube, our iTunes, our Mixcloud, all that good stuff. And if you like what you hear, you can help us keep doing the stuff that we love doing by clicking the donate link on the right-hand side of the website or going to the Geek Shop, where we have lots of lovely items that you can buy. And as always, if you want to get in touch, we're on Facebook or on Twitter. And you can email us either studio@thegeekshow.co.uk or info@thegeekshow.co.uk.
Yes.
Now, that's what we Mortal Kombat fans call a flawless victory.
Yes. So on with the news. And we're going to start off with the big news that we didn't get to do from last week, which was the announcement from Marvel, the mysterious announcement, because we recorded before the announcement happened. And we knew the announcement was going to happen. And then we mentioned there was a Square Enix announcement. And lo and behold, we were right. Square Enix and Marvel are going to be making games. Lots and lots of video games together. And they're starting off with The Avengers. So it wasn't Kingdom Hearts like we guessed. But
that could still be on the table.
Yeah, because Marvel and Square Enix have said that the new Avengers game, which is being done by Crystal Dynamics, you know, the team behind the Tomb Raider games. So it's going to be graphically very, very good. It's going to be visually excellent, but we don't know what the story is going to be like because, well, some of the Tomb Raider bit was it was good for the most part, but there were some bits that were a problem. Like, oh no, Lara's killed her first person ever. She has a perfectly normal human reaction by vomiting all over the floor and feeling disgusted with herself. Then right after that, she keeps on killing people and she's perfectly fine with it.
Gameplay segregation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, hang on, you've just made her into a very human character. She's killed her first person in her life. She's had a very human reaction to it. So, naturally, she's not going to become a hardened mercenary right after killing one person. But apparently she does.
See, no, it's just like that scene in Casino Royale.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, you've just killed your first person. Well, I hear the second one is blam!
Yep.
Yes, considerably.
Right.
It's kind of like that, but on a massive scale.
Yeah, it is. So they're the company that are going to be...
Minecraft. Yep. Murders 2 to 100, so much easier.
Yep. They're the company that are going to be doing the actual production of the game. Square Enix are mainly going to be publishing it. And the license, obviously, is from Marvel. It's the first of several titles that are going to be developed by Square Enix and Marvel. So we might see a Guardians of the Galaxy game. We might see an Avengers West Coast game. I'll be surprised if that happens. what I want is a Great Lakes Avengers game.
Or no, don't be silly, Rob. Everyone wants to play as all their favourite Avengers, like Tigra and who else even was on the Great Lakes event? No, not West Coast Avengers.
Hawkeye, Vision, Scarlet Witch, Wonder Man. No, Vision and Scarlet Witch were in the main Avengers. Wonder Man was West Coast because he was in California with his filming career. Hawkeye was on West Coast because him and Bobby had a bit of a split at that point.
I thought both of them were.
Yeah, actually, both of them were for a while, and then she disappeared after... she didn't disappear. She died. Where are we? US Agent, I believe, was West Coast as well.
Oh, boy, US Agent.
Sorry, the enthusiasm in your voice is delicious.
It's just, his entire thing is that he's the guy you call because Captain America is busy.
He was ghetto Captain America. He was basically...
He's not really that ghetto.
No, he was, when you look at him, it was basically, US Agent was, he didn't have Steve Rogers' class, he didn't have Steve Rogers' grace, didn't have Steve Rogers' intelligence, didn't have Steve Rogers' strength, didn't have Steve Rogers' super soldier serum, didn't have Steve Rogers' wit, didn't have Steve Rogers' planning ability, didn't have Steve Rogers... he had nothing in comparison
what
to Steve Rogers.
What he did have is that one time when they basically made him like Judge Dredd, he had a little laser baton.
Yeah. And I don't think Steve Rogers was jealous.
Although I think he... Because wasn't this like the same kind of time that Black Knight had his like lightsaber thing?
Yes. Oh, God, yes, the lightsaber. Black Knight's lightsaber was just... I kept looking at it and going, but you're supposed to be magic. And then my brain suddenly leapt over that and went, but it's Star Wars. It is magic.
Yeah. Oh, just, I love the idea of there being a scene where, like, Black Knight turns on his big lightsaber and then US Agent just ignites his teeny tiny little baton. Don't worry, Black Knight, I'll help.
Yes. And the other thing that annoyed me about Black Knight...
Do you know what US Agent is?
What?
Super ironically, he's basically like the Chinese knockoff action figure of Captain America.
You're exactly right. He is.
Like, super American fighting man.
Oh, even his name, US Agent.
Yeah. It's like a bad translation of Captain America.
It is, isn't it? Oh, do you think that's what they were going for? Because his outfit was like the American flag and a brown suit, a brown spandex thing. And that, again, looks like the cheap knockoff version of Captain America.
I want to believe that that's absolutely what they were going for.
How do we get onto this from where we were? We were talking about games. Oh, yeah, Avengers. That was it.
Yeah, well, as always, the West Coast Avengers got brought up because they are like the cornerstone of the Avengers universe.
All I know about the West Coast Avengers is I read a lot about them and most of it wasn't good.
But hopefully what will be good is this here Avengers game.
Yes, I'm hoping it will be good, but I doubt it.
Oh, you say soon. So is it like, there's actually going to be an Avengers game, right? That's like the thing that's kicking it all off.
There's going to be an Avengers game to kick it off. But I speculated about this because the narration, right, in the trailer that we saw that Square Enix and Marvel released, you saw Thor's hammer just sitting there. You know, it looked like devastation everywhere. Thor's hammer, something like Christie coming off. Then you got Iron Man's glove, you know, which suddenly the light comes on, even though it's not connected to any power source. Just want to point that out there, you know. All the power came from the reactor on his chest. If you just see his glove, it's not going to power up on its own. You know, batteries required.
Well, no, because I think now each of them is like its own independent power bit.
Is it? Oh, yeah, because he does...
Like the bit in Civil War where he's just got the gauntlet thing.
Yeah, where it all flies on its own. Okay, right, I'll accept that. I was wrong. I forgot about those bits, but that's fine. I'm allowed. I'm only human. I'm not Tony Stark or Thor. But then you saw Captain America's shield in the trailer. See what I did there? Then you saw Captain America's shield in the trailer with sparks on it, and it's just lying on this rubble. But the voice narrating it right, that I'm voice narrating the trailer, I thought, because I was thinking to myself, okay, they say the whole idea is to reassemble the Avengers, but since you've got Thor and Iron Man and Captain America, the idea is that they're pretty much out of action. I thought, okay, so what if it's Ironheart narrating the trailer? What if it's Riri Williams, is it?
Maybe.
Well, I thought, what if it's Riri Williams, and what if it isn't the Avengers as we know, but maybe they're taking story elements or taking inspiration from, you know, that animated movie, The Next Avengers, where Ultron has basically killed all the current heroes, but the kids of those heroes have been in hiding, and they've been protected by the Vision's head.
So I can kind of see that. I guess it depends on what kind of game it is we're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
If this ends up being like kind of an RPG type thing.
Yeah.
I can see that working with the idea being like, here's a whole bunch of new characters, and that's why you're training them up for like basically nothing to the point where like they're these really high level superheroes.
It is Square Enix. Okay, Crystal Dynamics are making the game, so I think it's going to be, you know, a third person action game.
But if it's something more like that, then
yeah,
I would say that probably doesn't make as much sense, because I think just looking at it more like business wise, you'd want to start off with something more established.
But then again, when they did the game, the X-Men Legends game, and the was it Marvel Superheroes? Was it? No, the Avengers. Okay. Was it the Avengers? I can't remember. You know, they did the X-Men Legends games on the PS2.
Do you mean like a Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Ultimate Alliance, that was it, yeah. And then they did the Ultimate Alliance games. Those had RPG elements, because you got new powers if you leveled up, and you got to make those powers more powerful.
So it wasn't X-Men. Because I know there was an X-Men game where it was like basically set in the X-Men universe, but you made your own character.
That wasn't X-Men Legends. I think X-Men Legends, the first one you were up against Magneto, and the second one it was everyone against Apocalypse.
Yeah, no. X-Men Legends, that was the one that was basically just like the same as Ultimate Alliance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But the game that I can't remember the name of, I could see them doing something like that, maybe.
That's a possibility. And that would be interesting if they did that, if they did a design your own character. You know, choose your own superpower type thing. Because that would make for an interesting game. Maybe they could even have a competition. Whoever designs the best character gets their own free comic book based on that character.
Oh, please no. That's how we get all the terrible things.
Yes, it is. Would you like to know who was in West Coast Avengers?
Okay, who was in the West Coast Avengers, Rob?
Right. Hawkeye, Vision, Mockingbird, Wonder Man. Is it Tigra or Tigra?
I always assume Tigra. And Tigra sounds a bit ridiculous.
The other
Tigra
question
sounds like just a weird name that isn't really a name that you'd give someone.
Yeah, I thought it was Tigra as well, because Tigra was one of the Thundercats, which is why I got confused when Tigra was in the Avengers West Coast. I was like, really? Is there some weird crossover going on? Then I found out that Tigra was female. I thought, hang on, there's something not right here. And then I saw that Tigra apparently didn't wear clothes as well. I went, oh, wait, put it away.
I mean, I'm not saying Tigra is basically responsible for the furry fandom, but she certainly didn't help.
No. And also, Tony Stark, Iron Man. And the last was, but that was Jim Rhodes, War Machine, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, because
yeah.
Tony Stark, this is the time when he was enjoying a bit of the old drinky drink.
Yes, and they were founded by Hawkeye, and together they defeat a petty criminal called The Blank. I don't know why. They were later joined by Henry Pym as the science officer. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
He's the best part of any Avengers team.
Yeah.
Actually, so this is the time when Hank Pym was literally just calling himself Hank Pym.
I think so, yeah. They were also joined at certain points by The Thing and Firebird. Moon Knight also formally joined for a while.
Oh.
Yeah. War Machine was expelled because of certain things that happened during Armor Wars. Scarlet Witch kind of was on call because her husband was part of the West Coast Avengers. And then they start talking about Great Lakes Avengers, and then I just lose it because I love Great Lakes Avengers. Anyway, shall we leave that to one side? We mentioned a couple of mutants in there, which kind of leads us into the next news article. Bryan Singer's X-Men TV series is going to be a family drama. Yep, a family drama. And that begs a lot of questions.
Keeping up with the Summerses.
Keeping up with the Summerses, yeah. That's a possibility. 2.4 mutants. married with mutants.
No, married with children from an alternate future.
Yes. No, they said drama. They said drama. What are the dramas? I've just thought. Maybe they'll do it like a period thing. So instead of Downton Abbey, it'll be Xavier Institute.
For some reason, I imagine Wolverine as the butler.
Oh, no. If they do this as a family drama, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have Xavier as as kind of the long-suffering dad, right? He's going to be the put-upon father figure. Jean Grey is going to be the, the kind, caring mother figure. Scott is going to be the serious older brother type. Wolverine, though, is going to
No. Yeah. See, my Professor X is more like the slightly wacky grandpa.
Oh no! You've got two grandpas.
Scott needs to be the dad because he's the guy who runs in and tells everyone to stop having fun.
Yeah. Okay. So Scott's the dad. Your idea is better. Professor X is the wacky grandpa. Wolverine's the other grandpa, the bad-tempered, grumpy one.
Yeah.
And if you make it so that Jean Grey's dad is Xavier, because psychic powers running in the family, and he's the wacky one, so he's the fun one. But then you got Scott's dad being Logan, and it so works, it explains why Scott is so super serious all the time.
Can Havoc be the fun-loving other brother?
Yeah, he's the fun uncle.
But he's the fun uncle. We're like, well, Scott's being all, now kids, you need to do your homework. Havoc runs in, he's like, everyone, let's go to the beach.
Yep, he is the fun uncle. When Scott's being serious, he's pulling faces behind him.
And of course, he's the one that Logan never punishes for anything.
No, because he's...
kind of like, ruffles his hair and goes like, oh, you scamp, Scott, finish cleaning the dishes.
Yeah. And that's why Scott is always super serious, but Havoc is fun-loving, because Havoc was always Logan's favourite. It so works. I really want this now.
Does this mean we get rebellious teenage Cable?
It gives new meaning to I want to watch Cable. just the rest of the kids on the side watching an argument between Scott and Cable. Or Scott and... Is it Nathan or Nathaniel? I've forgotten.
Yeah, it's like Nathaniel.
Yeah, but Scott and
Nathaniel. Nathaniel, I told you, no building giant laser guns before tea.
Yeah, and Jean walking in going, okay, kids, it's time for dinner. And all the kids going, but we want to watch Cable.
And then that's when she like, does the withering look to camera, pause for ads.
Yes. This could so work with our idea. Bryan Singer, pay attention. We have good ideas. You need to use them. Oh,
Beast is the one who just sleeps on the couch.
And the kids just rub his belly every now and then. Yeah. He's basically the cat.
Yes, he's the pet. See, I was thinking just like Scott's friend from out of town, but no, he's absolutely the pet.
Because when you think about it, he just go, well, how did I get into this mess? Every so often the camera, he'll translate the action in the way of all good house pets. And he's confused by mirrors.
While still also being a super genius scientist.
Yes. this gets better the more I imagine it. I know that the TV series is in no way gonna be as good as my imagination one or our imaginary one, but we can hope.
We can. This show is our beautiful child and I love it, Rob.
I've just realised Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to be the redneck cousins.
Oh, no.
And you know what I'm what I mean with all of that.
See, I do, but on like slightly more innocent terms. I like the idea of them being the children of Magneto, who is the fussy neighbour.
Yes, actually, yeah.
I like there's that evil plots which involve like taking the lawnmower and not giving it back.
You make him sound like Homer Simpson. Oh no, Magneto as Homer Simpson. Just no, Rob, you're going too far. I was just imagining Magneto as bald but with an M shaved on the side of his hair. Oh, right. Do you know, we could speculate about this all day, but I think we need to move on.
If you say so.
We'll do more speculating later. But moving on to the odd bit of news, because it wasn't odd enough already. The Justice League, right? Writer Tom Taylor and artist Stephen Brian are working on a crossover comic for the Justice League. Now, I'm going to be talking about a crossover comic with the Justice League in a bit, but this is a different crossover comic with the Justice League, because for some reason, this is like, you know that Batman teaming up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? But that one kind of worked, because the Turtles were supposed to be ninjas, and Splinter is supposed to be a master, and even managed to sneak up on Batman, which proves that Splinter is actually a master, right? Superior to Batman, which is what's supposed to be, yeah? But this is kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of like that. This is Justice League teaming up with that bastion of Japanese TV, or badly dubbed Japanese TV, badly English dubbed Japanese TV, I should say, with, you know, Western actors in the roles of in the key roles, but all of the rest of it is taken from the Japanese TV series. They're teaming up with the Power Rangers.
Oh, no, no, Power Rangers.
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
How does that even work?
I do not know.
Because, like, I've watched the Power Rangers, and, like, 90%, well, not even, like, 100%, every single Power Rangers episode, the entire plot hinges on them being really bad at their job.
Yes.
Because, like, it doesn't matter that the Power Rangers get beaten up by I'm just going to say, a scrotum with a tongue. Because Superman, he can just chuck that thing into space.
Yes.
Like, the Power Rangers are only good when they're literally the only heroes who exist in the universe. Because what you do, just go for the Megazord every time. Why even bother with the Kung Fu? Just summon a giant robot and stand on the thing.
Yes. And do you know what the worst part is? Apparently one of them, they get transported into a different world. So one of them gets transported to Gotham.
Oh my God, they're going to get murdered so badly.
One of them is definitely going to go up against Batman.
Oh, no, no. That's like best case scenario. I'm thinking, well, can you imagine a Power Ranger trying to fight a Batman villain? The Joker would like carve them up.
Oh my God, I've just thought, right? You know, Wonder Woman is all about female empowerment, supposedly. But she's a very proud warrior.
Oh, she's not going to be pleased with the pink Power Ranger.
Exactly.
Because, oh my God, Power Rangers, like, I got so caught up on the yellow and black Power Rangers, I never even thought about the fact that the girl is the pink one.
Yep.
Oh my God, Power Rangers. Oh my God.
Everyone forgets about the pink ranger. Which I know sounds like a euphemism, but it's not.
Oh, well. At least David Yost wasn't the Pink Power Ranger.
Yes, this is a very, very real truth. Ah, shall we take a break there?
Well, before we do, I'll just say, at least, you know, this isn't really super ridiculous. Like, say, I don't know, Planet of the Apes meets the Green Lantern.
Oh, please don't remind me. Please don't remind me.
What's going on with these crossovers, Rob?
I don't know.
Why do they all exist?
I don't know. I don't know what DC's doing. I mean, look at what they're doing with Snagglepuss. In fact, no, let's not look at what they're doing with Snagglepuss.
No. No, there is no Snagglepuss. Like, I don't mind there being a comic that, you know, tackles gay issues. In fact, I that's a good idea.
Yes. But you have that with Iceman.
Snagglepuss. Yeah. Why is Snagglepuss doing this? Snagglepuss.
Thing is, they already have that. Oh, no, that's a wrong company. It's Marvel doing Iceman, isn't it? Wrong company, totally wrong. Scratch that. Cut that, Rob, if you please. He probably won't. Okay, right, so Snagglepuss, yeah, I don't understand what the hell is going on. I know that Snagglepuss was supposed to be slightly camp and Snagglepuss is pink, but that does not automatically make Snagglepuss into a gay character.
And even, not just gay, like a gay Southern Tennessee Williams-esque writer.
Yes, and I'm looking at that, I'm going, just how stereotypical do you want to be, DC?
I'm just confused.
It is a massive stereotype, though, isn't it? Snagglepuss, oh, Snagglepuss is like this, so Snagglepuss must be gay. And that's, I think, the thing that that I find kind of offensive. Snagglepuss is like that, so Snagglepuss must be gay. I know plenty of people like that who aren't. They're just this like is... that. That's just their personality.
Yes, I think.
You know, they're quite vivacious. They're quite flamboyant.
It's hard to be offended when I don't even understand. I'm broken, Rob. End it. End it all.
Let's take a break there.
It's like one of those things. It's like how you can't look directly at the sun. I can't directly look at Snagglepuss. My brain just can't comprehend it.
This is Lizzie Boyle and Connor Boyle of Disconnected Press, and you're listening to The Geek Show.
TV. There's a lot of TV. Even the internet is TV these days. And if there's too much out there to know what to watch and what not to watch, well, tune in to the Geek Show Podcast Network's very own TV show, On The Box.
And welcome back to Four Panel. Now we're going to be talking about some of the comics and mangas that we've been reading this week. So, Rob, why don't you kick us off?
Cool. I have been reading Inspector. Now, Inspector is not spelt Inspector as in Inspector who works for the police. This is a clever play on words. This is Inspector with the Spectre spelt like Spectre, as in the James Bond or the spooky Spectre type thing, or the DC Spectre, who apparently is also stupidly powerful, but doesn't actually do anything.
Well, you can't, because, like, cosmic rules. But no, we'll be here all day if, like, we start trying to debate the Spectre, because, goddamn, that character is complicated and makes no sense.
Yep. Anyway, this is /Spectre, and so it's an odd story. It's the story's by Kyoshiro Daira, and it's art by Chashiba Katase, and it starts off really simple, right? 17-year-old Kotoko is in a unique situation. When she was a child, she was kidnapped by spirits and other kind of Oni-type things, yokai, and she was returned 2 weeks later, missing a leg and an eye. She was 11 years old when that happened. Since then, she's been able to communicate with otherworldly forces, both benevolent and dangerous, and she's alone in her power until she learns that the guy she has a crush on, that she's watched from afar for the last couple of years, called Kuro, has had his own encounters with yokai. And as if being touched, this is just straight from the back, right, of the volume. As if being touched by the supernatural wasn't enough, Kuro's personal life is also in shambles. With their shared experiences and understanding, Kotoko and Kuro form a partnership to deal with mysterious forces from ancient demons to the ghost of an idol. But for a girl who's used to dealing with spirits, winning love might prove to be the bigger challenge. Yes. Now, this has, surprisingly, a lot more depth to it than the back of it makes it sound, right? Because at the beginning, it doesn't actually explain what Kuro's encounter was. Well, it does. It says, okay, him and his then girlfriend met a kappa, one of those water demon type things, right?
Yeah, who abducted them and took them to Animal Crossing.
Sadly, no. The thing is, something ran away as a coward, and his girl friend at the time, and Kuro's girlfriend at the time, said, I didn't think you were that kind of man, and now they're broken up. And Kotoko correctly surmises that the coward that ran away wasn't Kuro, it was the kappa, because the kappa took one look at Kuro and ran off, because Kuro is something far more demonic than the Oni, Kotoko, on the other hand, in this, is also an interesting character because her situation is very, very different. When she was 11, she went playing in the forest and got taken away by the yokai, and they treated her nicely. She was, you know, having a tea party, stuff like that, and because she's 11, she's a kid, so she didn't understand much. And the Oni said, "Please become our god, please guide us." And that's how she lost her eye and her leg, because she's become the god of wisdom for the yokai. So she is their arbiter. She's there whenever they have a dispute between yokai or something like that, they go to her.
Right.
Which is interesting as a concept, because it refers back to the whole thing. You know, there's all sorts of old legends about one-eyed gods and, you know, one-legged gods and stuff like that, from various parts of the world. But Kotoko is more interested in Kuro because she's in love with Kuro, but she's still not sure what Kuro actually is. Because on the surface, he looks human, but the yokai, the oni, everyone like that, they're all scared of him. So, you know, I'm not sure what to make of the series. There was...
So she's not actually a ghost then?
Kotoko's not actually a ghost. She's a human.
Then why is it Inspector?
Because of the word Spectre.
But she's not a ghost.
Exactly. No.
And does it really sound like she does that much crime solving?
Well, they start going around doing some ghost busting, I suppose you'd call it, solving various...
Which does make me feel good, but...
Yeah. They start going around solving various things, but what I don't understand is, if your job is supposed to be kind of the arbiter of the spirit world, right? Okay, I understand, you want a boyfriend, you're 17 years old, this guy is handsome, he's interesting, he's mysterious, and he has something that the spirits are afraid of, that's fine. That can give you a bit of peace of mind. Because right after she meets Kuro, after 2 years, there's a great scene on the train where she's sitting down on the seat, and on the ceiling you see this horrible kind of creepy yokai type thing that looks out, that looks like one of the evil spirits from The Grudge or somewhere like that, right? But then next thing you know, it's like her personal attendant, and it's going, "My lady, how are you?" And, you know, "He didn't hurt you, did he? I'll go kill him." That sort of thing. And that was a nice little kind of variation on it. But sadly, I think the main problem I've got with Inspector is I've seen something similar before. And not just similar, kind of done better. See, this is trying to play itself off as a potential kind of romantic drama with some comedy elements type thing. And it's got good concepts. Some of the characters are interesting. The artwork is very, very good. But there's something lacking, you know.
It almost sounds like it's got sort of almost that Twilight-esque problem of like setting up this whole big mythology and then saying, but actually we're just going to focus on two teens having romance troubles.
It is a little bit that the thing that's kind of missing is that the relationships are quite flat, you know. There's no real kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no actual strength to them. There's nothing that connects the two of them together, really, you know, aside from the fact that they share a spiritual connection type thing, or a connection to the spirit world, I should say, right? That's the only thing that really connects them. And aside from that, there's nothing else. So that's what I mean by the relationships.
Okay, yeah, it's like, it's characters who, if they ever actually went on a date, you couldn't really imagine what they talk about.
Yeah. And you know, I said it. I'd read something better, right? There is another manga. There's another manga called Renai Kaiden Sayoko-san, and I've mentioned this to you before. It's one of those really odd but really charming and sweet manga that I find every now and then. The English translation is Sayoko-san's Romantic Ghost Story, right? And that one's by Shumi Kanzaki. Again, it's a young animal one, not DC Young Animal. But that one is basically about Sayoko, who's incredibly kind, but very, very solitary. She's a kimono-clad young lady, and she is also an extremely powerful spirit medium. She also kind of has her own entourage of spirits that follow her around everywhere because she's so powerful. And she fixes spirits. She does her exorcisms simply by going up to these spirits and talking to them and saying, well, look, you know, you don't need to do this. Why don't you come with me? And because she's got this massive entourage of spirits with her all the time, yeah, I'll come along. So she gets haunted by more and more spirits, but she can handle it because she's quite lonely. And so these spirits are basically like her extended family who go with her everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely sounds familiar now.
You know, and she falls in love with a guy who just happens to be kind to her, you know, and so because he's like the first guy who isn't really afraid of her and who is kind to her, she's very interested and ends up falling in love with him. But then she becomes kind of his stalker as well, in a really funny way. And it's all about her because she's got no experience with relationships or other people. And it's all about her trying to figure out how to approach him and ask him on a date. And that, I think, is a better setup than Inspector. Because
yeah,
there you...
sounds kind of...
You know,
much more lovely.
It's much more lovely, but it's also the fish-out-of-water comedy, which we know can work as a comedy. You know, Sayoko's trying to do something that normal people do for a change, whereas in Inspector, they're basically trying to do the Ghostbusters thing, and it doesn't quite work. So, yeah, that's me done with that.
Okay, well, I have also been reading a manga. I've been reading Nekogahara, Stray Cat Samurai.
Yes.
Which is by Hiroyuki Takei, who's the creator of Shaman King. I know that because it says on the front page, creator of Shaman King.
Okay.
So this is set kind of in medieval Japan.
Okay.
But basically what it is it's like Red Wall or something. Although, no, I guess not really. Basically, the idea is like it's a civilization populated by cats, but it's also set in like the real world.
Okay.
So they're kind of like the cats with the highest status are ones that are owned by humans. So it's kind of like the cats have their own little civilization that mirrors the human civilization, but it's kind of off to the side.
So it's a bit more like, you remember that Tail Chasers song I mentioned before? The one about the fantasy story involving cats.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, it's more like that.
Okay.
Except also with the... It's still got that kind of Red Wall thing of the cats walking around on, like, two legs and wearing clothes and what such.
Ah, okay.
So this is the story of Norachiro, who is basically a cat ronin. He was...
A cat ronin?
Yes, he's a cat who was owned by a person, but something happened to that person, and so now he's just a stray cat wandering around with his owner's bell tied to his katana.
See, that's actually quite a cool image, I think.
It is. It's fun. But the thing with this manga is kind of not to damn it with faint praise, but basically it's fine. And all it really is kind of just fine.
Really?
Yeah, because like the main joke is it's like people stuff, but with cats. So, like, he'll go into a tea house and order a tea, and it'll come in a saucer, and he'll kind of lap it up.
I see. I get what you mean.
Yeah. And it's all pretty amusing. I think probably the best joke is the idea of catnip drug lords.
Okay.
And, like, there's a real problem across Japan of cats just being addicted to catnip.
Okay.
Yeah, but still, that's all the jokes. It's just, it's like a human thing, but with cats instead. That's kind of more kind of just a little chuckle than laugh out loud funny. And a lot of the plot is basically like every samurai movie ever. So it's Norachiro, he's going from town to town, kind of seems like a bit of a scumbag, but deep down he's got a heart of gold.
Oh God, one of those.
Like literally the first issue is the tea house he goes to. They're in debt to the local Siamese cat, and the adorable cat daughter of the tea house owner gets kidnapped. So of course Norachiro ends up stepping up and kind of confronting the bad cats and killing them, and everyone's like, oh, gaswood, no, that's actually the legendary such and such. Yeah, yeah. It is literally all the samurai films.
I don't know what to say about that. I'm kind of like, disappointed because I thought the artwork looked interesting, but I've not read it at all.
Oh yeah, the artwork for the most part is nice, but I think the action scenes can be a little bit busy.
Mm.
Got a bit too much detail. So many speed lines.
I think that's one of the problems with manga in general, though. I think they just overuse effects, let's call them, like that.
Yeah, this definitely suffers from it. But you do have some nice bits, like you have kind of sound effects, like bursting out of guys as they get sliced.
Yeah.
And you've got kind of the obligatory panel, which is like a black panel with the slice sound effect and a load of blood splattered across it. And that's nice. But again, it's nice in a, oh yeah, but this is a samurai manga, and that's a thing that happens in samurai manga and samurai films in general.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's even got his own special little code of honor thing.
Yeah.
It's like his whole thing. It did kind of make me smile a little bit when I first read it, is that all cats should be free, because what makes cats magnificent is their refusal to, like, take orders from anyone. But, you know, it's kind of, again, it's the generic, this is my badass monologue that I say before I kill you scene.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there were only a few samurai movies that actually were worth anything that did that. And a lot of the others, it was normally the bad guy saying stuff, not the good guy. The good guy just stay silent and then just attack.
Yeah, but I think that's probably more of like a manga and anime thing.
I don't know. Well, the only samurai ones that I really watch properly...
Not necessarily just like samurai, but you know, it is quite a common trope that you'll get the hero. He's quite a quiet hero up until the point where, like, he needs to save the day, and then he'll give, like, the big emotional monologue before flying into action.
See, that to me is a bit of... I've always considered that quite a stupid thing. It's like Flash stopping every time and saying, stop what you're doing and surrender quietly.
I mean, to be fair, this is, like, kind of the opposite of that, because it's sort of like that's the point at which the bad guys realize, oh no, we picked on the wrong guy. We might be in trouble now.
Yeah, I know, and that's my point. You know, it just seems a little bit of a grandstanding thing. I think it's just a personal preference. I think it's just one of those kind of, it makes me cringe a little bit whenever I see a superhero doing that kind of thing. It's like, really? You want to do that? But you've got like 10 seconds to save the Earth, and you're giving an emotional speech about how you're going to save the Earth now?
Yeah, I guess. So I'm thinking about, like, I don't know what it is that I'm thinking of specifically. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
Very JoJo thing to...
Yeah, it's a very JoJo thing.
Leo's all, I can stop up time for 10 seconds, and now I will give like a half-minute-long monologue.
Yeah, that's JoJo.
I still have 10 seconds to fight.
Yeah, that's JoJo. JoJo is different. JoJo is always different. We put JoJo off to one side and say, here is the world as we know it. Here are comic books. Here are manga. And over here on the special shelf is JoJo.
Well, I mean, it's right there in the title. That's pretty bizarre.
Exactly. We don't include JoJo in many lists. But those that deal with the bizarre, those ones, JoJo is definitely in there. I like how we've moved on from Nekogahara to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
It kind of shows me just how much more interest, just how interesting Nekogahara is. The fact that we started talking about a different one.
At the end of the day, that's the problem with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of the day, that's like the main problem with Nekogahara, is there's just lots more interesting stuff out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Shall we move on?
We shall move on.
Right, it's now time for the first third of Rob's rant, which is Civil War II, The Oath. Thank you, Marvel, for crapping all over my love of Marvel. Once again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, Civil War II, The Oath, is basically Captain America taking an oath to lead S.H.I.E.L.D. That is the main point of it being called The Oath. And I remember...
Because there's an oath in it.
Yeah, because there's an oath in it. Captain America's basically saying, oh, we failed the people. The people don't like heroes anymore. Blah, blah, blah. You know, heroes are too busy with their egos and stuff like that. And when Captain America is swearing the oath, The thing that I found hilarious was the fact that you had all these people dressed, you know, all these heroes watching Captain America take the oath. And so you got Vision, and you got Totally Awesome Hulk, and you got Kamala, and you've got Luke Cage. Thor is in there for some reason, and they're all on one side. And on the other side, you have Vision, and somebody I'm assuming is going to be Wonder Man or Cyclops because of the red shades. But then behind them, you have Scarlet Witch, some guy with a kind of fish head type thing. Then Karnak, Medusa, and Triton, Black Triton, possibly. Then Karnak, Medusa, and Black Bolt. And I'm thinking, hang on, why are the Inhumans here?
Okay, yeah, for the rest of the Inhumans there, that's got to be Triton then.
So, and I don't understand what the hell's going on at that point. But Captain America has become the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you have all these people going, no, we don't want all this power in the with one man.
Watch your word a second. To get like really pedantic about it, the Inhumans shouldn't be there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not part of the UN.
That's my.
They don't fall under S.H.I.E.L.D. jurisdiction.
Oh no, but this oath of office is being done as like a presidential oath of office.
But to run S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But that's not. You don't get sworn in as head of S.H.I.E.L.D. You just get like assigned it.
Yep.
Like we in the real world, we don't have big ceremonies for when someone takes over as head of the CIA.
Exactly. Now you see one of my problems with this comic, and that's just the first problem of many, many problems.
Like, even if they did, Tony Stark and Maria Hill didn't.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, right? The scene then shifts to Hawkeye and Red Wolf, who are in the desert. Hawkeye's blindfolded and taking potshots at stuff, and Red Wolf's going, surely you should have been there. Like, no, I'm the last person who should go there. And I've finally figured out what the whole Occupy Avengers thing is about because of this comic, but we'll get to that in a bit, right? So, anyway, the main point of this, because Wasp appears and is talking to Miles Morales, who's sitting on a roof away from everything, and Miles Morales, naturally, and that's the only good part of this, he keeps thinking back to that scene of him killing Captain America, and what he's worried about is that was a scene that might happen in the future still. So he's staying away from the Senate building or wherever it is, Capitol Hill or whatever it's called. He's staying away from there while Captain America's there because he doesn't want that scene to come true. All of this is happening against the backdrop of Tony Stark in kind of a coffin type thing, which I'm assuming is some healing thing from when he was injured by Captain Marvel. And
yes, from that time when Captain Marvel tried to straight up murder him.
Yeah, and he's got Steve Rogers basically is talking to him and explaining to Tony that Tony was wrong and Carol was wrong. They were all wrong. They forgot about the little guys, everything like that. All sounds very positive.
Oh, screw you, Civil War 2.
Oh, no. This is
where they're trying to do that bit, like, at the end of the first Civil War, when Tony is, like, talking to Captain America's corpse.
Yeah.
And he has, like, that whole breakdown song about how it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Screw you for trying to like get that same level of emotional response out of your terrible piece of crap comic book.
Oh no, they got a level of emotional response from me, and that level of emotional response was for me to want to find whoever authorized Civil War 2 in the first place, and punch them in the balls, and whoever actually wrote Civil War 2, signed off on Civil War 2. Basically, everybody who worked on Civil War 2 and punched them in the balls. And if they are women, then, you know, that's going to be difficult, but I will still try. No, I won't. But anyway.
Yeah, but then that also means you have to go punch Phil Noto, who arted this issue in the balls. He doesn't deserve it. He's a good artist. He does lovely art.
I listened to reason on that one. You know, but anyway, one of the other bits that made me rage at this is Steve Rogers talking to Carol Danvers, right? And Carol has this idea to put a shield around the world, like the Mexican Wall, because this is obviously Marvel trying to do politics again, right? And Marvel, you don't do politics. You can't do politics. You do stupid politics, right?
Yes, please, Marvel, we all love you, and we're concerned about this. You're only hurting yourself.
Yeah. So Carol...
Just put the politics down, Marvel.
Yeah. So Carol's explaining to... basically, she says to Steve that... Steve is... she says, you're angry with me. And Steve goes, no, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. And Carol's like, oh, why is he disappointed? Because Steve is apparently like a hero to her. And so all of this stuff is going on. Carol doesn't know where Maria Hill is, and she's talking about this really good idea to protect the world with this energy shield, and Steve's going, no, you did this before. You did this time and time again, and that he wasn't meaning to lecture her, everything like that. But then he says, look, we all make compromises. You've got what you want. You're in charge of this whole thing. I just want you to think about, you know, where it is that we're heading. Under your plan, and that apparently Miss Carol thing, and then Steve says, you know, she's too far gone. There's no saving her. Like, really? You're basically basically make it out that Carol Danvers is just wanting approval from somebody.
Why, Marvel? Like, I know people complain about how a lot of Marvel seem to do now is to tie in with the movies.
Yeah.
But why are you dumping over someone like who's about to have their big debut movie?
Yeah.
It's like, do you hate female superheroes that much that you're trying to like ensure the Captain Marvel movie fails? Is that why Carol Danvers is suddenly the worst person ever?
Yeah. Well, do you know what makes this worse is right at the end when it basically reveals that this Steve Rogers is a clone of the old Steve Rogers who died apparently in Civil War. Right? In the original Civil War. And then it goes on to show a vision of the future of America.
You what?
Oh, is it Civil War he died in or something? I can't remember. But this Steve Rogers is apparently a clone.
What? When? How? What? How?
Yeah, apparently and he's why? A clone. Apparently he's when the clone. Yeah, I know. Now you see why I got angry with this. This Steve Rogers is apparently a clone.
This is another thing the Cosmic Cube did.
I don't know. But I just know that he works for Hydra.
Yeah, because that was like all weird. The girl who was a Cosmic Cube changed reality shenanigans. Is that why he's a clone? I know what it is.
Oh?
See, what they want to do is they want to have all this secret empire Steve Rogers is a Hydra bad man thing. And then they can just kill him off at the end and go, oh, it's okay, it was just a clone, here's the real Steve Rogers, and we can forget all of this.
That's exactly what they're doing next is Secret Empire.
I know, I've seen the terrible promos for it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing, because then it cuts to this this whole montage of pictures saying Hail Hydra and, you know, control, and the economy soars to new heights under Hydra leadership in the news, and everybody saluting the Hydra flag, and I look at it and go, it's a stupid flag. It's a bloody octopus in a circle. You have internment camps and Hydra ships and blah, blah, blah. Everything goes to hell. And then for some reason, it cuts to that bastion of democracy, which is the Senate building in Washington. And it's half destroyed. And everyone's going, Hail Hydra. And it's got a Hydra flag on there. And you're like, well, surely that is, yeah, it's just... It annoyed me on so many levels, this comic. Annoyed me. Marvel, bad Marvel. Naughty Marvel for doing
fine.
This.
Fine, everyone is a Skrull. Secret Invasion 2 is going to happen.
Yeah, and I also understand now why they're doing
Including
the Occupy...
Brian Michael Bendis has been replaced by a Skrull. That's why he's so bad now.
Yeah, well, it also explains the Occupy comics, right? The Occupy Avengers. Because Hawkeye is going to remake Avengers West Coast... But as an Occupy movement to go against the Secret Empire, you just know it's going to happen.
The West Coast Avengers are going to save the world.
Yes.
Furry pin-up lady and Chinese bootleg Captain America.
Oh, no. They've started off on the right foot. They've got Nighthawk and Red Wolf. So they're going with the animal theme this time. Because Hawkeye, Nighthawk, Red Wolf. What are the animal-based superheroes, are they? Squirrel Girl, there you go. Squirrel Girl can join.
Squirrel Girl can join.
Tigra can come back because obviously
Gamecock. They can have Gamecock.
Yes, Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck can be part of the Avengers finally. So that could happen. Howard the Duck could finally be part of the Avengers.
a Jonathan the Wolverine.
Yeah, Jonathan the Wolverine. That could happen. Even Wolverine could join because, you know, Wolverine is Wolverine. So you could have all of these animal creatures, animal ones. Black Panther could definitely join.
So you feel like Black Panther can, like, go to the recruitment, just kind of shake his head sadly and walk off?
No, Black Panther would go to the recruitment. Nighthawk would go, who are you supposed to be? Black Panther would look at him, sigh, and just go, kids these days, and just wander away.
Meanwhile, Red Wolf just, like, whispers to Squirrel Girl, wow, look at cheap knockoff Nighthawk over there.
Yes. And Squirrel Girl's going, wait for me, Black Panther. Red Wolf going, was it something I said? Anyway, over to you.
Yeah, so I've also been reading a Marvel comic. I've been reading the first two issues of US Avengers.
Okay.
Which is by Al Ewing with by Paco Medina. It's basically spinning off from the new Avengers series that they just finished.
Yeah.
Which is kind of Roberto Da Costa, certain spot. He bought out AIM, turned it into Avengers Ideas Mechanics, and now they're basically working for the US government.
Okay.
So you've got him as kind of like the coordinator for the team. You've got Cannonball. You've got the new Iron Patriot, who is Tony Ho, who's the daughter of Dr. Yinsen, you know, the guy who helped Iron Man build the Iron Man armor.
Yeah.
You've got a new character called Enigma, who was kind of introduced during Jonathan Hickman's run as Pod, who's like a sort of planetary defense robot thing.
Okay.
Then you've got good old Squirrel Girl, who has the powers of both a Canadian citizen and a US citizen.
And squirrels.
And squirrels and computer science. And the new Red Hulk, who is basically a guy named General Robert Maverick.
Yeah, I know. I was like, really? That's his name?
Yeah, I love it.
Thing is,
basically, he has like a shield device that lets him turn into the Red Hulk, who has basically half the strength of the normal Hulk. And he can do that for like, I think it's an hour every day and a half.
Yeah. And I love the monologue that they had for Robert Maverick when he's talking about becoming the Hulk. He's like,
yeah, because he's just so goddamn excited to do it.
Yeah, he looks forward to that every single, you know, every single time, that 1 hour every day and a half when he gets to become the Hulk.
Yeah, because he just gets to smash stuff.
Do you know the thing that gets me, though, about the Red Hulk? When you look at Red Hulk, he's like 70s porn version of Red Hulk.
Yes. Because they have fixed the big issue. Is it everything that was wrong with the original Red Hulk was the fact that he didn't have a mustache.
Yes, or sunglasses.
And star-spangled shorts.
Yep. And somehow Red Hulk has become... I like this version of Red Hulk. I'm looking at it and going, yeah, that works.
Yeah, because I think they've just gone full ridiculously over the top with it.
When I read this, it reminded me a bit of Great Lakes Avengers and the fact that it was such a different take on the Avengers. It wasn't the usual, you know, we must do this for the greater good, the American way, truth, and whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, I like that it's a team of people who are superheroes because being a superhero is actually pretty rad and fun.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
So, yeah, so like in the first issue, they stop the old Secret Empire, like the guys with the red hoods, under their flying volcano base.
Yeah, it's a flying volcano island.
Because of course it is. But then future Captain America, who is Danielle Cage, shows up. She's hot on the heels of the Golden Skull, who basically is like the Red Skull, but a pirate.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether to laugh at that or not.
I think you probably are. Because like having read a lot of Al Ewing stuff, he likes to be quite tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it's just, again, it's pretty much the same as New Avengers. It's that fun mix of kind of quite tongue-in-cheek humour, just really likeable characters.
Yeah.
Which, God, that's something stuff like The Avengers needs now.
God, yes.
And, like, all this really wacky, like, spy-fi, as I like to call it, action.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, the Avengers used to be quite nice and simple. There's the bad guy. Let's go fight the bad guy. Let's win. And then go home and have, you know, nachos or shawarma or something like that.
No, I like it because I like the idea of comics trying to be less grounded.
Okay, yeah.
Like, this is a world where a gigantic man in a purple helmet eats planets. Let's have a flying volcano base.
No, that part I'm cool with. It's just the spy-fi bit. I think it's being overdone a little bit. I think you need to mix it up a little bit more. The bit where Red Hulk goes and smashes the volcano base, for example, I think it needs to have a good balance of, you know, smashy-smashy with spy-spy.
Yeah, but no, that's like, is that I say spy-fi, but this is heavy on the fi.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. I wasn't talking so much about US Avengers. I was talking more about just, yeah, you know, I hate remembering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah, I like US Avengers. It's a lot of fun. I just, honestly, I don't know if I want to read it.
Yeah, I'm kind of
the same.
But
it's all Marvel's fault.
I'm actually kind of the same. I read the first issue and I was like, it's all right.
Yeah, and like, I don't even think it's the fault. Like, given time, I think this series could grow into something. It'd be like a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I just know they're going to get roped into the next, like, 17,000 events that they'll have to tie into, and then I'll get cancelled with like issue 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's going to be it.
It's sad, but that's how Marvel are rolling these days.
Yeah, and like, I'm kind of at the point where I don't know if I can be bothered to invest in it anymore.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at like, in 3 or 4 months' time, there's probably going to be like 4 Marvel series I actually bother with.
Yeah.
Like, I know Spider-Woman and Moon Knight both seem like they're ending.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about that because Marvel don't really have much that is interesting me at the moment, aside from the usual.
Yeah, so I've been reading Avengers, and I'm going to stop that once the current storyline ends.
Yeah, but you're more reading that out of morbid curiosity now, aren't you?
I want to say more. Really, it's a lot of it is just reading it to kind of keep up with what's going on in the Marvel Universe.
Ah, right, so the same reason that people used to keep reading Bleach and, you know, Naruto. It was more habit than anything else, or just to see what was going on and see if the story got any better.
Well, no, it's bothered her. If there's going to be, like, big changes to the Marvel Universe, it's probably going to happen in Avengers.
Ah, I see, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's just, it's a series that's spinning its wheels until the next event happens.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's an idea. Oh, whoa. Hold the phone. I think you've just touched on a massive idea that Marvel have missed completely, right? Have the individual stories for each of the Avengers, right? Tell their individual stories in comic book form. But whenever you do a big event, have the Avengers comic only for those events, and then stop it. They'll all go their separate ways again.
Yeah, that's a really new, like, the Avengers
is a special
just
thing.
A team of people who come together when there's a giant, like, world-ending threat.
Yeah, and if you do it like that, then everybody can be an Avenger.
Yeah, plus it kind of means the other heroes aren't necessarily stuck being, like, dragged into stuff they're not really part of.
Exactly.
They can each have their own, like, kind of mini-universe where their own stories take place. Because everything should kind of be like Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
But it's just off in like its own little world until it needs to tie in with stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is what should happen with Avengers. That would be a much better way of doing it.
It's a much better model.
Yeah, it's a much better model. And I think that that would actually increase the interest in Avengers rather than decrease it, because then Avengers becomes a special thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of makes it more like the films.
Yeah. Yes,
the Avengers themselves are the event.
Yeah, and why not do it like that? I think Marvel are missing a massive trick. Ah, so back to me, is it?
Yeah, back to you for one last little thingy-majig.
Okay, the second two-thirds of my rant, and DC, shame. I am doing that 1950s expression of shame where you basically stroke the back of your two fingers with one finger just to denote shame. Right, I am going to shun DC. I think DC deserves to be shunned for this. I think DC.
Are you turning your back on them?
Yes, I am turning my back on you, DC. I'm still going to read certain things, but I'm turning my back on you, DC.
I'm just picturing like that scene in the Mighty Boosh
Yes.
When the boot kind of like rotates around.
Yes, it is literally that. I think DC, as much as Marvel have done Civil War, and Marvel deserve to be on the naughty step, I think that DC are also on the naughty step for doing exactly the same thing as Marvel. Just that they did it in a different way, right? See, where DC went wrong with Justice League versus Suicide Squad was in the idea of Justice League versus Suicide Squad. Your entire core concept is wrong, right? There's only one bit that I found quite interesting in this series, and that's the idea that apparently Amanda Waller is smarter than Batman, right?
Do you mean, when you say smarter?
She outthinks Batman. She plans, apparently, the entirety of Justice League versus Suicide Squad was engineered by her, and it all went off perfectly, allegedly. Really?
No, that's not my Amanda Waller.
No, it's not.
See, my Amanda Waller, she still beats Batman, but that's because she's better at playing the game.
Yeah. Thing is, in this...
Like, that bit in the old series, where Batman, like, basically bursts in and tries to, like, threaten Amanda Waller with, I'll reveal, like, who the Suicide Squad really is. And Amanda Waller's like, yeah, well, you probably left your fingerprints while you were sneaking in, and I will devote all my resources to finding out who you are.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not necessarily that she outthought Batman. It's that she's one of the few people who doesn't immediately, like, wet herself when Batman walks in the room. And she has the cojones to show it.
Yep. Anyway, this starts off with...
Yeah, that was my mini rant.
Yeah, that's fine. Basically, Justice League versus Suicide Squad starts off with a typical Suicide Squad mission. They basically have... They're in the middle of a mission. They have to go and do this and that and the other. Blah, 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 blah for Amanda Waller. And what's her name? The woman from Flash who's a scientist but also is freezing powers.
Killer Frost. Frost.
Yeah. Killer Frost is part of the Suicide Squad at the moment, right? And they're basically trying to stop this bad guy do something. Tells you how much I was interested at this point, right? And then, you know, they're going to lose everything like that. But then the Justice League come along and they say, stand down, Suicide Squad. And Harley's going, we didn't do this. It was the bad guys that did this. And okay, we don't care. But then it's Suicide Squad versus Justice League in this massive dust-off between the two sides. And we'll get to my first major bone of contention in a moment. While that's happening, somebody is basically breaking into a place where they shouldn't be breaking into, and they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And at the end of the first issue, you find a group of people. You have Emerald Empress, Dr. Polaris, Rustam, Johnny Sorrow, and Lobo. Seriously, Lobo.
Lobo.
Yeah. And the person who's broken...
Interesting choice.
Yeah. The person who's broken into a place where they shouldn't have broken into is Maxwell Lord, right?
Dun, dun, sigh.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking, hang on, what the hell's going on here? And so, moving on to the fight between Suicide Squad and Justice League, which apparently Suicide Squad win because Killer Frost is on their team.
No, but Superman is on the Justice League.
So is The Flash.
And
Aquaman. And Wonder Woman.
Some kind of Green Lantern, right?
Yes.
Killer Frost has ice powers. Superman has every powers.
Apparently she can draw the heat out of their body and make them faint.
But why is she not doing that all the time? Didn't you think that's the kind of thing that Speed Force protects against?
Now you see my first major bone of contention.
Superman is literally powered by the sun.
Superman isn't just literally powered by the sun. Even if you cut off the sun to Superman, doesn't mean he loses his power.
Killer Frost can instantly make people unconscious. Why has she not been using that all the time? Why does she not just run the world?
See my problem?
Nonsense.
So, anyway... the entire Justice League has been captured by Task Force X.
Is Cyborg in the Justice League as well?
Yes, Cyborg is on the Justice League.
He doesn't have a body from which he can be removed. He's a robot.
My point exactly. Shall I continue?
Go ahead.
Anyway, right? So, the Justice League are captured by Suicide Squad, and they're all taken to Weapon X, but no, they're all taken to the Suicide Squad, where Amanda Waller is looking particularly smug about the fact that she's captured the Justice League, including the two Green Lanterns, the Flash, Batman, Superman, Cyborg, and Wonder Woman.
There are two Green Lanterns.
Yep.
They got beat by someone whose powers is making things chilly.
Yep. So, after that, it turns out that Amanda Waller has basically brought them here because she needs their help. It's not to fight against Suicide Squad. It's to fight against the original Suicide Squad. Now, do you remember Dr. Polaris, Johnny Sora, Rust, Emerald Empress, and Lobo?
The original Suicide Squad.
Apparently, they're the original Suicide Squad. And I'm like, hang on. What
including
happened?
Lobo.
Including Lobo. And I stop there again, and my second major born in contention appears. I'm going, what the hell happened to Rick Flagg? Wasn't he in charge of the original Suicide Squad?
Yeah, but that's... Does Rick Flagg even exist anymore?
Yes, he is, because he's on a mission with Katana. And I'm thinking, if they even show you in the comic Rick Flagg on a mission with Katana.
Okay, I guess he wasn't in charge of the original squad then.
I don't know.
Fine, sure. Let's just make that entire series, though, love. Completely non-continuity.
I don't know what's...
That's fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's fine. It's fine.
And now you see why I have such a problem with this. And those are only the first two major bonds of contention. Then you have a big dust-off between the original Suicide Squad, which is Dr. Polaris. Just to repeat them, the list, you have Emerald Empress, Dr. Polaris, Rustum, Lobo, and... who's the other one? Johnny Sorrow, yeah? And on the other side, you have Captain Boomerang, Deadshot, Killer Frost, who we've mentioned, Killer Croc, What's-Her-Face, the one everyone likes, Harley Quinn, The Flash, who's the one with the fire powers from Suicide Squad?
Oh, El Diablo.
El Diablo is also there. El Diablo, The Flash, Batman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, two Green Lanterns, who's that one, the green one with the mystic powers? She's got like mind reading powers and stuff like that.
Oh, Enchantress.
Enchantress.
Enchantress, maybe.
Yeah, Enchantress and Superman, right? Superman who can knock out Lobo, might I remind you. So you have against the original Suicide Squad, literally this massive amount of firepower that could easily wipe out the original Suicide Squad, but yeah, apparently they can't.
Firstly, what?
Yeah.
Secondly, but why did they even get the Justice? So the Suicide Squad can't beat the original Suicide Squad, so they need the Justice League, because the Justice League can beat the original Suicide Squad, but the Suicide Squad can beat the Justice... Why doesn't Killer Frost just make them all faint? If that's what she can do, why just be like, bam, you're all unconscious?
That's my point. But it turns out that Maxwell Lord is after something else because he's left them all fighting and he's sneaking in and he knows what he's after.
Great, Max, you do you.
Yeah, because Maxwell Lord is after somebody else and he's using his power to mind control Killer Frost, and then he goes on to find the thing that he wants, because what he wants is basically this really, really, really dark crystal. And I'm not talking about the Dark Crystal from The Dark Crystal, because The Dark Crystal was amazing, but this is not amazing. Maxwell Lord is after something else. It's a crystal that can find the darkness in people's hearts. Yes?
No.
Yes, yes, no. Yes, I am going there. I am going there. You can't stop me. This is what happens.
No.
He's after a crystal that can raise the darkness in people's hearts, and it can bring them to... It can bring the darkness out, and the darkness will basically cover the light like some kind of eclipse.
Oh, God. Eclipse is so dumb, Rob.
I know. I lived through the original Eclipso event. I even have a bunch of the...
He paints half his face blue, and he doesn't wear a shirt sometimes.
I even have some of the original Eclipso comics. Still, you know this. I'm just kind of... Why? Why are you doing this to me, DC?
Why does he even want Eclipso? He's already got a team that can somehow beat the entire Justice League and a woman who can apparently defeat anyone instantly.
Yes. Also, Batman blows Lobo's head off.
Yeah, that happens to... No, lots of bad things happen to Lobo and they just get better.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, Maxwell Lord gets his hands on the Eclipso Diamond, on the Eclipso Crystal, diamond they call it, but anyway, he gets his hand on it, and all of a sudden, Cyborg, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Green Lanterns, and Superman are all suddenly evil, with half their face painted kind of weird blue thing. But Batman somehow isn't evil.
Because he's so Batman, Rob. He's too Batman to be mind controlled because of his Batmanness.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is the funniest part about this, and also the stupidest, right? The Justice League, the most powerful members of the Justice League, are suddenly evil. But the Suicide Squad that beat the Justice League in a straight up fight, allegedly, don't get converted into evil because Maxwell Lord considers them small fry compared to the Justice League.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This is terrible Justice League fan fiction.
It is. And now you see why I wanted to talk about it so much. You even have a fight between Batman and Superman because Superman has come to take Amanda Waller to Maxwell Lord, and it ends in the way that Batman-Superman fight should end, with Superman grabbing Batman by the throat and throwing him away before Batman can do anything.
Yeah, but isn't this evil Superman, though?
Yes, he doesn't kill Batman, though. Lobo's not happy because...
Why does Superman just not instantly kill it? That's always been the whole point.
Yeah, but...
Superman only ever losing, holding back.
Yeah. Lobo's not happy with Batman blowing his head off, and Batman gets all the Suicide Squad members together. They find out that Cyborg's possessed, but Cyborg is basically, because he's got circuits, only his human side has been transformed into Eclipso's minion. His computer side has a copy of his personality, and they've basically hacked, and they've given the world a fighting chance against Maxwell Lord and the Eclipso Diamond, right? Which is fine.
No!
Batman then informs all the Suicide Squad that they're no longer the Suicide Squad. They are now the Justice League.
Fine. Great. Excellent. Yes.
And then you go to the final battle at the White House. And all you have then, because Maxwell Lord doesn't realise the power of the Eclipso Diamond, and then suddenly Eclipso is resurrected through Maxwell Lord. Maxwell Lord becomes Eclipso. An all-powerful demon of darkness that raises the darkness in people. He's basically destroying the world by letting people's darkness out, and they're destroying each other. He's glorying in the carnage and the chaos. And Amanda Waller is standing there watching all this happen. But because she's so hard-nosed, it doesn't affect her. Because apparently this was all part of her plan. This was all part of her plan to get accepted, to have the Suicide Squad accepted by the Justice League, so Batman would say, look, maybe there's a place in the world for what you're doing as well. And she's keeping Maxwell Lord prisoner at the end of this, because obviously the good guys win, because, and this is the bit that really, 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 oh, I want to make chutney slices out of everyone involved, because there are a bunch of chutney slices. This is the bit that really got me, because you remember Weapon X, yeah?
The Marvel.
Yes, the Marvel one. And you remember there was a storyline when it turned out that Wolverine was Weapon X, but Weapon X wasn't Weapon X. It meant Weapon 10. And you had Weapon 11, 12, 13.
Please no, Rob. Please no.
Please yes. That's no. Exactly what they did. Maxwell Lord is going to be part of Task Force 11.
Oh, God.
Have I scared you enough?
But why any of this?
I read this. You didn't. Imagine how I felt.
Why do you want the Suicide Squad to be accepted?
Why do you care?
Yeah. The whole point of their conception is that they don't need to be accepted.
It's plausible deniability. That's the whole point of them.
That's the opposite of what you want.
And I know this show is running over a little bit, but you understand why I wanted to get this off my chest for the last couple of weeks. You understand, though, don't you?
I hate you now. I understand and I hate you for it.
I'm just warning you. Avoid it
like
the plague.
You exposed me to...
Seriously, DC, what the hell are you playing at?
But avoiding it doesn't matter now.
Yeah.
I know it. I know it all.
All I'm saying is, DC, what the hell are you doing? Okay? And this is one of the reasons why IDW, Image, Boom Studios, Dark Horse as well, all of the other smaller comic book outfits are basically catching up to Marvel and DC in a big way because they are just doing stupid crap like Civil War 2 and Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
My head hurt. My head actually hurts. Yeah.
Whereas IDW are doing stuff like Revolution and Revolutionaries, you know? So
Task Force 11.
Yeah.
But it's X because the X... They already explained that the X stands for an unknown variable.
I know.
That was... What were Task Force 1 to 9?
Apparently Task Force 1 was Lobo and Emerald Empress and Dr. Polaris and
no,
Johnny
Sorrow. That's not Task Force. That's the first... But every Suicide Squad isn't a different task. The Suicide Squad is a group under the employ of Task Force X.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, they were the first Suicide Squad. But yeah, you get my point.
But they replace members on a regular basis. There's no point at which you can say this is a different Suicide Squad.
Yes.
It's just a Suicide Squad where we've replaced all the members.
Yes.
They're like the Sugar Babes.
Superpowered Sugar Babes.
Exactly.
Or evil superpowered Sugar Babes.
Like the Sugar Babes weren't already evil.
I don't know.
Okay, that's it. We're done. I'm going to crawl under a table somewhere and weep for a bit.
Let's just end the show.
Everyone go home.
Yes, we are done for this week. Marvel, DC, naughty step for both of you. You don't deserve a cookie. Everyone who worked on Civil War 2, Civil War 2 of the Oath, and Justice League versus Suicide Squad, all of you, no ice cream, no cookies, no treats, no snacks for you. You are, you've been grounded by us. We decide you have been grounded. You get no video game privileges or anything like that. DC, naughty DC. Whoever's in charge of DC and Marvel, naughty to you as well. If you were here, we'd spank you, but sadly no. We're going to leave for this week very, very disappointed. We're not angry. We're just disappointed, DC and Marvel.
Thanks for listening.